This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. I'm so happy to be back. And we have some things we're going to go over this hour. Yes, we're going to talk about Ilhan Omar getting filthy, stupid rich while she's a member of Congress. We're going to talk about Gen Z. This article is complaining about Gen Z and their work ethic. We'll have an honest talk about that. Apparently, we're outbreeding the communists, and that's wonderful. Emails, more coming up, but you know what time it is. Well, actually, you might not because it's Tuesday and not Monday. On Mondays, where this normally happens, the start of the second hour, we do Medal of Honor Monday, where we take a Medal of Honor citation and we read it. You can do this. I've encouraged you many times. You can do this when you're by yourself. Bored? Maybe you're scrolling through social media? There's a million websites. They're all free. You can scroll through these and read them. It's like reading action movie stuff. You can read it to your children, to your class. You can do it at work. You know, you can do these at work. Nothing political about it. Do it at work. People love it. It's healthy. You remember the men and remember the deeds. You honor them as we should do as a society. Those who gave up so much, those who did so much on our behalf. Anyone can do this. This is nothing I do. Now, that said, Jewish producer Chris and producer Corey have been working on something, and I wanted to let you know about it. If you enjoy me reading these, they have started to put these things up online on YouTube, but to get there, you just have to stay with me. You have to go to it's called X now. I was gonna say go to Twitter, but it's not called Twitter anymore. If you go to the show's page, just look up Jesse Kelly Show on Twitter or on X. There's a link to all of them at the top. There are some already there, 8, 9, and something like that. There will be more. They're going to keep adding these. So if you don't want to say it yourself or read it yourself, maybe you want to play it in the car, in the living room, and you just want to hear the sultry sounds of my voice, and I can hardly blame you. What, Chris? You can just go there, okay? Now, who is the most, a little trivia question, most don't know, who's the most decorated American from the Vietnam War? Robert Lewis Howard. Robert L. Howard. In the future, when someone asks you that question, if you were ever asked, Robert L. Howard. He was U.S. Army. Now, I need to explain just a couple things for background before I go into the actual citation, because I think the reason I wanted to expand on this a bit tonight is, one, I love this subject, the Vietnam War, Mac V. Sog, all this stuff. I love this subject. Two, I think when you understand some background on the man and the unit and the mission, I think it helps. I think it helps the citation come alive. I think it makes it more interesting. So, first of all, Howard, I'm just going to call him Howard. Robert Howard was from a military family. His father was in the 101st Airborne in World War II. That is an amazingly consistent theme. When you read about, when you watch a documentary about, when you learn about the really hardcore veterans from Vietnam, so many of them are children of World War II hardcore veterans. And they just grew up that way. Super patriotic. A man steps up and serves. There's that strain. And there are guys, get this, there are guys who fought as lions in World War II, who were still in the service and went to Vietnam. One of them even joined Mac V. Sog, which I'll go into in a moment because she missed our Mac V. Sog episode. One of them, at least one of them that I know of, went into Mac V. Sog. This freaking guy was just a lion, but he bowed out early because he said he was too old and he was worried that he couldn't keep up with the younger guys and he would get someone killed because he couldn't keep up anymore. That's how old he was. So instead, he just went to the camp and was in charge of supply. Hey, you need a special machine gun? You want some poison darts? I've got you. It's just this really cool thread from World War II to Vietnam that I keep running into that I think you would enjoy. Anyway, the guy's dad was 101st Airborne World War II. He is an Army dude through and through, Robert L. Howard. Now, let's do some Mac Vsauce talk. I already did I did at least an hour on it one day that you can go look up if this subject fascinates you. But Military Assistance Command Vietnam Studies and Observation Group. That's a long, convoluted term, isn't it? What does that even mean? Well, it was convoluted for a reason. These were the super secret commandos doing super secret things in Vietnam, the kind of things they make movies about, the kind of things if you talk to your son about them, his eyes get as big as saucers. It's known as the secret war. Green Berets, Navy SEALs, Air Force commandos, they came together to form this super elite unit, completely volunteer. And get this, it was so dangerous, by far, and I mean by far, the highest death rate in Vietnam. More men died than made it home. More men died than made it home. You are behind enemy lines at all times, being hunted at all times, outnumbered at all times, and it was so dangerous that you could withdraw at any time. No one will harass you. No one will make fun of you. That's how you left. You just walked in and said, that's it. I can't do it anymore. And every book I've read on it reinforces the fact that you cannot do it without end. There's only so much in the tank. There's only so many times you can dance with the devil and eventually you have to leave. You just, the human mind can't do it for forever. Now, how were the teams set up? Well, there are a couple different terms. And one of them is going to come back when I do this Medal of Honor citation. First, there were known as recon teams. This was kind of the main, I want to say this was really the main driver on it, an RT. And they usually, not always, usually had the names of states. There's RT Idaho and RT Kansas and RT. Now, what were they? They would have two or three, usually Green Berets, sometimes Navy SEALs, Green Berets, and then some form of indigenous troops. I need to pause and explain what that means. They took a couple different forms. In China, there are these rural tribal peoples thought of as minorities, certainly thought of as lesser in China. They were known as Nungs, N-U-N-G, Chinese Nungs. They were mercenaries, no question about it. You would have two or three Green Berets on a recon team. Let's say it's RT Iowa. You'd have two or three of these guys, Green Beret types. And then you'd have seven, eight of the Chinese Nungs. That would be a recon team. Or, and this will apply to our citation specifically, there were Montagnards. What are the Montagnards? They're known as Yards. What were they? That was, I believe, a French term known as mountain people. The Vietnamese, North and South Vietnamese, I should point out, hated them. Thought they were lesser human beings. They were stockier, a little thicker, and darker in skin than normal Vietnamese people. As you can imagine by the name, mountain people, they really lived in the highlands, the mountains. And there were different Montagnard tribes. You know, it's not, they weren't all Montagnards. There were different cliques, if you will. But they were probably the most common troop type that would be attached to these recon teams. Now, I mentioned the recon teams were the main ones. There's two other things I just want to mention briefly. One will apply and one will not. There was something known as Hatchet Force. Sounds really cool. Those are not small teams. Those are large raiding parties. You go raid, wipe out a Vietnamese camp, and then get out. So we're not going to focus on that right now. And then there's something known as a bright light. A bright light. What is a bright light? Oftentimes, you will have guys standing by on a bright light. You stand by on a bright light when someone goes out, when a team goes out. And what are you there for? You probably already imagined it. You're there to go rescue them if they get in bad trouble. And darker and sadder, if a team goes missing, you go try to find them. You go out on a bright light. They were considered some of the most dangerous missions because, well, there's a reason the last team went missing there. That we will discuss next. Before we do that, let me discuss, well, there's some conflict in the Kelly household now, courtesy of Cozy Earth. This is what happened. On Saturday, we kind of had a really kind of a lazy day. There were no meat or anything like that. So I wore my Cozy Earth pants. We went out to dinner. I put on my everyday pants from Cozy Earth because they're the most comfortable things in the world. Super cool too, like, and they look good. All I did was wear them to dinner. That's all I did. On Sunday, Aub and I get up. We have breakfast, kiddos, get dressed for church. I put on my everyday pants from Cozy Earth. Yes, the same pair of pants. We are halfway through church, and Aub looks over and she says, "Are those the same pants you wore yesterday?" I had only worn them for a few hours the day before, and they're the greatest freaking pants in the history of mankind. You can wear them 2 days in a row. And I discovered since it monsooned, they also quick dry. Do you want to cover yourself in comfortable stuff, men, ladies? You want to sleep in bamboo sheets? CozyEarth.com, promo code Jesse saves you up to 40%. Go. CozyEarth.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic, fantastic Tuesday. Back in the chair, and I'm finally going to get to the actual Medal of Honor citation now on a Medal of Honor Tuesday. But as I just mentioned going into the break, a bright light mission for Mac V. Sog. They were some of the most dangerous missions because what that meant was a team was either under fire and needed desperate help or, and this is just unbelievably creepy how often this happened, they just disappeared. You drop them into the jungle in Laos or Cambodia. These were always behind enemy lines. They were always surrounded and sometimes just gone, completely gone. And you have to go out and try to find them, rescue them. If they're POWs, try to break them out. If they're in a fight, try to. It's a very, very dangerous thing to be on a bright light. Robert Lewis Howard did more tours in Vietnam than you can possibly imagine. He's passed away now, but a Mac V. Sog legend. Really, he's a legend in any special operations community. And he found himself on one of these bright lights looking for a team that had just gone missing. And as I mentioned, you are always in Laos, you are always in Cambodia, and you are always surrounded. And later in the war, which this took place in 1968, later in the war, the Vietnamese had figured out what was happening, and they had come up with things like radio locations, direction finders. They had come up with their own hunter-killer teams specially designed to hunt down recon teams and kill them. That's what they were there to do. They knew these guys would land. They would hunt them down and kill them. And it happened a lot. So, born in Opelika, Alabama, Robert Lewis Howard.
Honoring those who went above and beyond. It's Medal of Honor Monday.
For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity in action at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty, First Lieutenant Howard distinguished himself while serving as platoon sergeant of an American Vietnamese platoon, which was on a mission to rescue a missing American soldier in enemy-controlled territory in the Republic of Vietnam. The platoon had left its helicopter landing zone and was moving out on a mission when it was attacked by an estimated 2-company force. During that, pause for a second. Remember, I said this is probably a 10-man team, roughly. I don't know exactly. If you're going up against 2 companies, that's probably 200 to 400 men. You're going to die. During the initial engagement, First Lieutenant Howard was wounded and his weapon destroyed by a grenade explosion. Pause, sorry, again. When I say wounded, his hands were wrecked. They were still attached, but they were unusable when his weapon was essentially blown up in his hands. So he didn't have usable hands at this point. First Lieutenant Howard saw his platoon leader had been wounded seriously and was exposed to fire. Although unable to walk and weaponless, First Lieutenant Howard unhesitatingly crawled through a hail of fire to retrieve his wounded leader. As First Lieutenant Howard was administering first aid and removing the officer's equipment, an enemy bullet struck one of the ammunition pouches on the lieutenant's belt, detonating several magazines of ammunition. First Lieutenant Howard momentarily sought cover. Pause. He didn't momentarily seek cover. It blew up on his belt, and he was blown 8 feet away. Momentarily sought cover, and then, realizing that he must rejoin the platoon, which had already been disorganized by the enemy attack, he again began dragging the seriously wounded officer toward the platoon area. Through his outstanding example of indomitable courage and bravery, First Lieutenant Howard was able to rally the platoon into administering first aid to the wounded, giving encouragement to the defenders, and directing their fire on the encircling enemy. For 3.5 hours, First Lieutenant Howard's small force and supporting aircraft successfully repulsed enemy attacks and finally were in sufficient control to permit the landing of rescue helicopters. First Lieutenant Howard personally supervised the loading of his men and did not leave the bullet-swept landing zone until all were aboard safely. First Lieutenant Howard's gallantry in action, his complete devotion to the welfare of his men at the risk of his life, were in keeping with the highest traditions of military service and reflect great credit upon himself, his unit, and the U.S. Army. And I misspoke there. I need to clarify something. This was not a 10-man unit. I believe it was 30 that he had on this bright light, and almost all of them died. I think 7 of them made it out alive. They didn't leave their dead behind either. They would stay there under fire and load the dead men on at risk of dying themselves. They would go out on these missions when they knew everybody was dead. They would go on a mission just to get the dead bodies, load them up, and bring them home so they could go home to their families and be buried with honor. That is a taste of what these guys did. I have encouraged you before. I will encourage you to get again, go pick up a book on MacVSog. If you are not a reader like Chris, look, there's a million podcast episodes. These guys are allowed to do interviews now. There's a YouTube. You can go look this stuff up. You will be dumbfounded that men like this exist. Heroes. Now, let's talk about Ilhan Omar. Ugh, it's terrible. Before we talk about her, let's talk about something beautiful. Saving time. Isn't saving time wonderful? Is there anything worse than wasting time? When you're an employer, all your time is gobbled up, and oftentimes it's not by the things you want to do. It's not focused on making money, running the business. It's little crap you don't want to have to deal with. And when you're trying to find new employees, it's a nightmare because you have to sift through resumes. I don't understand. There's too many people, and you end up looking forever. Or you end up with the wrong one. ZipRecruiter is here to make sure that doesn't happen to you. They'll find you somebody fast. They'll find you somebody. You sign up for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. They will get the best candidates and put them in front of you. 4 out of 5. 80% of employers find one the first day. You're a day away. You don't have time. You don't have months. You need somebody now. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com, and we'll get to that here in just a moment, meaning we'll get to some emails. But I just want to touch on this. This is something we brought up before, that people become politicians. Not everyone at all, but many become politicians because it gives them access to the things rich people have without having to actually accomplish anything. Most people, if you're being honest, most people want to be able to enjoy the finer things in life. I'm not saying you sit around dreaming about money and mansions and sports cars and things like that. At least I hope you don't. Hope you're at least somewhat content with where you are. But who doesn't like a good steak? Who wouldn't fly first class all the time if they could? People like the finer things in life. They do. How do you get those? For some, they start their own small business. Hard work, dedication. Others, they become politicians. Become a politician and then find a way to swindle somebody out of money. Find a way to use your position of power to bloodsuck money from someone. This is a headline from DrewBerkwist.com. Ilhan Omar's rapid one-year 3,500% wealth growth tied directly to her husband's consulting firm. So you have to put in financial disclosures when you're running for office, for public or federal office in America. When you're running, I had to do this back when I ran for Congress. This is something, if you're elected, you have to keep doing. You know, it's not just the one-off. You have to keep doing it. When Ilhan Omar was first elected in 2019, her net worth was negative $45,000. That was her net worth. It's the year 2025. Her net worth is $30 million. How? Well, Ilhan Omar is married. No, not the brother, a new one. Ilhan Omar is married. Her husband runs a Democrat consulting firm. Ilhan Omar raises money to run for Congress. Lots of it. I'm sure it takes, running for Congress in Minneapolis. I bet you she has to raise $2, $3 million in election cycle. That's going to be expensive media up there. What do you do with that $2 or $3 million? Look at that. I know what I'll do. I'll hire a consulting firm to handle my campaign. Hires your relative's consulting firm. This is very common in politics. Hire your relative's consulting firm. Maybe it's a son, maybe it's a husband, maybe it's a mother. All that campaign money you raised ends up somehow, some way growing exponentially right back into your bank account. Why do you think we can't seem to pry these scumbags out of office? Either they're looting your money or they're looting the campaign treasury. They're just corrupt and evil. And this is how so many in the government do it. It's how it works. It's why they stick there. It's dug in. It's awful. Absolutely awful. It's a system that has to change. It's bonkers that it hasn't changed. Well, it is what it is. Jesse, when Trump was elected, the left said they'd be putting trannies and other commies in concentration camps. Where are the concentration camps I was promised? Well, look, as we've talked about many, many times before, communists lie about everything at all times, all the time. That is what they're supposed to do. They're trying to lie. It's not like they tell accidental lies. They know they have to lie about everything, because if they told the truth about anything, they would never be elected anywhere. They'd be run out of polite society, denaturalized, deported, and put on a deserted island somewhere. If the communist was ever honest about how truly sick and evil his plans are, he would never hold power, even in blue areas, ever. So they lie. All the time. Here's a good example. Jasmine Crockett, she's out there with another, well, pretty ghetto accent.
Maybe because these people, they are crazy. Because they always talk about how Christian they is. Yeah, I don't know how many of them on that side are getting divorced because they getting caught up sleeping with their co-workers, staffers, interns, all the things. Yeah, you ain't got to believe me. Just go Google. You'll find some of it. I'm telling you, and the wives is being messy and petty. They putting it in.
They don't know how Christian they is. Wow. I wonder what part of the hood she's from. Must be a rough part of town. Except this was Jasmine Crockett in her earlier days.
First of all, it's good to see you in the new year. You know, no one could have told me that when I went down to Austin, now looks like a little bit over a year ago, that I would be running for Congress.
What a well-spoken, polite-sounding young lady. What happened? Because that wasn't very long ago. Did she move to the bad part of town or something? Now she talks
maybe
like this?
Because these people, they are crazy. Because they always talk about how Christian they is. Yeah, I don't know how many of them on that side.
Did she get hit in the head or something? What happened there? Well, she lies. Jasmine Crockett, her district is very ghetto. It's been drawn that way. She might be getting drawn out of it as Texas redraws its districts, by the way. But her district is extremely ghetto. That's how the people in her district want her to talk. At least that's what she believes. She believes that's how they talk. She believes that's how they want her to talk. And so, without missing a beat, you just become a fake person. Wouldn't you feel dirty? Wouldn't you? And this is something you have inside of you that the communist simply doesn't. Wouldn't that feel dirty? I guess I don't have much of an accent because I've lived everywhere. Ohio and Montana, I've just lived everywhere. So I'm sure you can pick up something, traces of something, Midwest or something. But I don't have much of an accent of any kind. But what if I went to a deep South state, Alabama, one of my favorites? What if I went to Alabama and I ran for office and I started throwing on a Southern accent? I would feel so stupid, and I would feel like I was insulting the people who genuinely have an accent. I would feel dishonest and gross, but they don't. They lie about everything at all times. Kristi Noem, speaking of lies, she went on CBS talking about this Kilmar Abrego Garcia scumbag. This is what she actually said.
And the one thing that we will continue to do is to make sure that he doesn't walk free in the United States of America. This individual was a known human smuggler, a MS-13 gang member, an individual who was a wife beater, and someone who was so perverted that he solicited nude photos from minors. And even his fellow human traffickers told him to knock it off. He was so sick in what he was doing and how he was treating small children. So he needs to never be in the United States of America, and our administration is making sure we're doing all that we can to bring him to justice.
That's what she actually said. Would you like to hear what CBS played? This is what your liberal Aunt Peggy, who watches CBS, this is what she saw.
And the one thing that we will continue to do is to make sure that he doesn't walk free in the United States of America.
That's not bias. That's lying. They lie about everything at all times. If their lips are moving, they're lying. Let's do some more emails. Next.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic, fantastic Tuesday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, including our Medal of Honor Tuesday, you can download it on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be rude about somebody's happy special day, but this headline, before I get to the emails, this is too much. I'm sorry. The headline is New Jersey Senator Cory Booker gleefully announces engagement to Rosario Dawson look-alike girlfriend. One, that's a little mean to call her a look-alike to someone else. But two, Corey, bud, Everyone knows. We don't have to keep doing this thing. Remember when he, quote, was dating Rosario Dawson? It miraculously coincided with the last time he ran for president in a Democrat primary. And now, I think we all know what this means. I think they probably issued him a girlfriend at Democrat Party headquarters. All this means is that he's running again. Corey. Buddy, shave the beard. Come on. You're not fooling anybody at all. Did he really, Chris? Jewish producer Chris just told me Freddie Mercury had a fiance too. Really? I didn't know. Yeah. Look, come on. Buddy, everyone knows. All right, everyone knows. You can do the best you can to cover it up. I mean, my goodness, you're a Democrat. I would think it would help you. I mean, granted, it's going to cost you the black vote. Just look at the rear admiral. He can't seem to get out of a primary because they won't vote for him. But Corey, but no, nobody's fooled. No, nobody is fooled. I just wanted you to know. Hey, Jesse. Oh, some commies mad at me. Democrats are not godless. The majority of them worship the same God you do. This left-wing lunacy and quasi-communism doesn't replace their established religion. It coexists with it. Atheists and agnostics aren't even politically viable in the party, so stop spreading this BS about lefties and Democrats being religiously vacant. Real communism in China, so on and so forth, blah, 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 blah. You're going to do the Christian thing now where you dismiss the faith of other Christians just because they're bad. Blah, 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 blah. And then I love this part. Doing bad stuff while believing there's a sky daddy who had a son who supposedly died for us is very distinct from not believing any of the crap that happened. But see, communist, you don't understand who you're dealing with. There's a confusion. And it's you who are confused. So allow me to explain. This stuff works on traditional Republicans. This kind of talk works on them. But me, I know what you are. I know who you are. I know exactly what you would do to me and most definitely my church if you had the power to do so. I know what you are. We are enemies. And no, we don't worship the same God. Not at all. You're a devil worshiper. I worship God. We are not the same. Don't sit there and tell me that you believe in what I believe in. You do not. And you will not ever, 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 ever. I'm an anti-communist. You will never use my values against me. Ever. You're not going to try to quote scripture to me. You're not going to try to tell me that they're my fellow Christians. No, they're not. I walked by those churches in Boston a couple weeks ago, churches waving tranny flags. Don't think as you walk into church, you're some kind of, you share my faith. Don't think for a second that we have anything in common whatsoever. We have nothing in common. We are enemies. And just you're just angry that I acknowledge it and talk about it. This is like Joe Biden attending mass. This is like all the Nancy Pelosi claiming to be a Catholic. Nancy, kill every unborn baby in the world. Pelosi is a Bible-believing Catholic. Oh, sell that somewhere else. We're all stocked up here. Good grief. Chalk's stocked up too. Chalk at what, Chris? Chalk has natural herbal supplements and they're stocked up. Lots of them. Have you ever tried Chad mode? You know what pre-workout is? There's all kinds of different pre-workout out there. It's usually a powder. So's Chad mode. And it has all sorts of caffeines in it to get you going before workout. The problem is pre-workouts are full of garbage. Go look at the ingredients. All kinds of nasty, horrible garbage. Not chalks. Of course, they spent something like 2 years researching it to make sure it was natural. Natural caffeines, natural things in there. Ditch that poison you've been taking. Try some Chad mode. Get a stack, a male vitality stack, a female vitality stack. Go to chalk.com/Jesse and get a subscription so you can save a pile of money. chalk.com/Jesse. Jesse, my family and I went to spend a few days with my mom In that time, one of her neighbors sent her a registered letter with the letterhead of a homeowners association demanding $8,000 to try to make a pond, so on and so forth. The problem is the HOA doesn't exist. As any other chalk-taking member of the Kelly Nation, I have thoughts on how to deal with this, but what is the proper response in a civilized society to deal with a couple jerks harassing your mom? Well, I don't know that I can tell you the civilized response. I'm 100% positive I can tell you that I can't explain what I would do if somebody swindled my mom out of her money. I definitely can't tell you that, but it does bother me a great deal how much older people are preyed upon in their later years. Those stories always gut me. And one of the worst parts of it is, I mean, you can call the cops, and you should, by the way, but those kinds of cases so often are just ignored. They just are. Either cops are underfunded, understaffed, you know, they're chasing down murderers. And so these dirt balls who do these things, they get off scot-free. They just get that so often they're not even investigated. Remember the story I told you when somebody got a hold of my credit card? You remember that story? I haven't told you. Remember that story, Chris? I haven't told that story in a while. I'll tell you what. I'll tell you that story real quick, and then we're going to talk about birth rates. We're going to talk about the next generation. We'll go into all kinds of things in our final hour of the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast.